Who can say that Krishna consciousness isn't the wildest religion? And the essence of it is to keep oneself in relationship to Krishna, and the only way one can do that is in a serving mood. Otherwise we are bahyamukh. What does bahyamukh mean? Yes, who said that? Our back is to Krishna. Hare Krishna. You're okay today? Okay. I was going to ask you, Baba Kaha. So now I'm happy. Could you hold this, please? Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 So I'll just read the verse and then we'll do the word by words, because yesterday all the devotees chanted it. Tam atmaja dristavir antaratmana.
Tam atmaja dristavir antaratmana.
Durantabhava parire vire patim.
Durantabhava parire vire patim.
Nirodhamapyasravaram bunitraya.
Nirodhamapyasravaram bunitraya.
Vidasati nam bhrigavarja vaiklavat.
Vidasati nam bhrigavarja vaiklavat.
Tam.
Tam.
Him.
Him.
Lord.
Lord.
Atmajai.
Atmajai.
For the sons.
For the sons.
Dristivi.
Dristivi.
By the sight.
By the sight.
Antara Atmana.
Antara Atmana.
Antara Atmana.
Antara Atmana.
By the Antara, the innermost part of the heart.
By the innermost part of the heart.
Duranta.
Duranta.
Bhava.
Bhava.
Inseparable ecstasy.
Inseparable ecstasy.
Not inseparable, but it's inseparable. Superable, which means not ecstasy that can't be surpassed. It can't be. Who is not using their cow ringtone today? Everyone, put your phone on either cow ringtone or turn it off. We don't mind cow ringtones at all. The ecstasy that was not possible to supersede or be greater than. Pariri bre.
Pariri bre.
Embraced. Patim.
Patim.
Husband.
Husband.
Nirudham.
Nirudham.
Choked up.
Choked up.
Api.
Api.
In spite of.
In spite of.
Asravat.
Asravat.
Ambu.
Ambu.
Excuse me. Asravat.
Asravat.
Tears.
Tears.
Now what other famous verse has this word asravat? From the Sikshastakam. But yes. Who knows the Sanskrit? Okay, say it, please. Please say the verse. Asley Shavad. So tears are coming down the eyes, from the eyes, like torrents of rain. Ambu,
Ambu,
like drops of water.
Drops of water.
Netrayor,
Netrayor,
from the eyes.
Viladzatinam.
Those situated in shyness. So does the word lajja, is the implication shy or ashamed? Or is it somewhere in between, or is it either? The question. Lajja. Shy, ashamed also sometimes? No one speaks Hindi here? Shy. Or Bengali? But sometimes it's used as shame, yes?
Yes.
Yes? Yeah, and also, but it also means shy, also, because there is an element of feeling oneself lowly and ashamed of one's position in shyness, and that's why shyness doesn't occur very much today, because the greatest increase in Kali Yuga is the size of one's false ego. More proportionately greater than one's anything else. We don't increase anything else in Kali Yuga, we increase our size of how we think ourselves the center of existence, and we become furious when the universe fails to acknowledge our supreme position. Which is difficult, of course, because there are so many people thinking the same thing, that I am the supreme. And how dare you? How dare you not do something to me? Yes, so lajja means shyness here. Those situated in shyness. Bhriguvarya.
Bhriguvarya.
O chief of the Bhrigus.
Vaiklavat.
Inadvertently.
Inadvertently.
What does inadvertently mean?
Unintentionally.
Yes, unintentionally. It sort of just happened. Okay. Now, this verse is a description of what the queens, Krishna's queens, were experiencing when Krishna returned after a long time. He returned home back to Dwarka and entered their palace. They had been meditating upon who? Krishna. How often? It wasn't like now is the time that I should meditate, so therefore I'll think about my Lord Krishna. But the nature of their love was they were constantly, not, and with no stoppage, constantly thinking about Krishna with great loving devotion and desiring to serve. Now, it's actually described in the 10th canto in two chapters when Krishna marries, especially in the 82nd, 83rd chapter of the 10th canto, where Draupadi talks to Krishna's queens. Does anyone raise your hand if you've read that chapter in the Krishna book or in the Bhagavatam? Raise your hand. Everyone is in lajja mode today. Also, both shy and maybe even ashamed that I haven't read it. But each of the eight principal queens, plus one other queen representing the other 16,000 queens, whose name was Rohini, they all described how they came to be Krishna's wife. And they said, in this way I achieved my goal of becoming Krishna's maidservant. So they were all in the mood of serving Krishna in this capacity, and they were experiencing insuperable ecstasy that can't be surpassed. Now who's speaking this verse? Who's describing this? Okay, who's speaking this verse?
Maybe Sutta.
Maybe Sutta. When does Srila Sukadeva Goswami arrive?
At the end of the verse.
Yeah, at the end of the first canto. So Srila Sutta Goswami is speaking to whom?
A
The sages of Namasaranya. You've been studying. Thank you very much. Good. I mean, I'm not. Just thank you very much, because it's so nice when the devotees study Prabhupada's books. He wanted them distributed and studied and appreciated. And I heard, actually heard a lecture yesterday where Prabhupada said we should make Srimad Bhagavatam our life and soul. So here, Srila Sutta Goswami is describing something transcendental. That means beyond everyone's experience, basically. Everyone who's within the prison of the three modes of material nature, it is nothing that they've experienced. Now, how is something that is not possible in one sense to even conceive of? How are you going to describe that? So he's going to describe something from its external manifestation. How this incredible, insuperable ecstasy of these queens who have a transcendental loving relationship with Krishna, an eternal transcendental loving relationship with Krishna, how the internal ecstasies manifest in a way that we can see them. So this is something very exceptional, and something in a sense similar happened when Sri Narada Muni described how he saw the Lord when he was meditating in the forest. And he saw the Lord, and the Lord appeared to him and then disappeared. He appeared to him and he had Sakshat Darshan. What does Sakshat Darshan mean? He directly saw the Lord where he was meditating on. He appeared in his heart and then he disappeared. And it caused such an ecstatic mood in his heart. The most desired object, he had obtained it. It is what he had been thinking about and chanting about and praying about continuously ever since he was a child, and suddenly he was in his, the Lord had appeared in his heart and then disappeared. And the example given is like if suddenly you're a poor man and suddenly you get millions and millions of dollars, and just when you're in, and that's all you've been desiring. Not any of you, of course. You have more wonderful desires. But of course, no one would complain if you had millions of dollars and wish them to give them back to give it back to the owner of them. But then it disappeared, and Prabhupada's purport explains. He's trying to describe ecstasy, which is impossible for a person in material consciousness to conceive of what it would be like. So then it describes that all his senses were acting at once when he was with the Lord. Everything was activated. His ears were hearing. His eyes were like just seeing and drinking in the nectar of his, the Lord's beauty. How are you going to describe this? So here, Srila Sutta Goswami is going to describe their transcendental experience as it is, as the ecstasy is erupting in their transcendental bodies. But it's a transcendental ecstasy erupting in a transcendental body because of their full and transcendentally developed loving relationship with Krishna. Would you like to hear it? Now, if I were His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj, I would say, if you would like to see it, hear it, say, Haribo! And he probably wouldn't even, if you responded like that, he probably wouldn't even read it. And that's with some genuine, deep enthusiasm. But anyway, because I know that you're all in shy mode, so, and maybe even a little ashamed that we don't have it, I'm going to read it, but please, please listen carefully and understand what we're hearing. A description of something that's impossible to describe. How the ecstasy, transcendental ecstasy of the manifestation of one's love for Krishna on the transcendental platform, prema bhakti, on the highest level practically, is erupting through their consciousness and spreading throughout their bodies. The insuperable ecstasy was so strong that the queens, who were shy, first embraced the Lord in the innermost recesses of their hearts. They pulled him into the deepest part of their hearts first. Then they embraced him visually. So he entered the depths of their heart. Then visually they saw him with their eyes. But their eyes were embracing him. Now usually we don't think of eyes embracing. We think of hands embracing. Arms, but their eyes had captured Krishna, and they had already pulled him into their hearts. And then, because they were shy, their sons were right there, so that they pushed their sons forward to embrace Krishna. This is the dealings of rasa. These are very, very secret, esoteric. Esoteric means sort of secret, mystical, hard to understand, the most mystical, hard to understand, and very, very subtle. Which is meant, and the dealings of rasa are meant to increase the ecstasies. So, and it's subtle. So they sent their sons forward to embrace him, which is equal to personal embracing. But then, O chief amongst the Bhrigus, that is, descendants of Bhrigus. That's who is that? Though they tried to restrain their feelings, they inadvertently, not on purpose, shed tears like drops of water, ashravad, and they were narudam, choked up. Could not say anything, but their love and affection, even though it was all being done internally almost, the sons being pushed forward with their eyes, they were embracing him, not with their arms, and in the core of the heart they were holding him tightly. But yet, even though they were keeping, because of their shyness, even though they were keeping self-contained, the ecstasy, it couldn't be contained. And their voices choked up. They could not say a word. And the expression, the only expression that was externally manifest by them was the tears coming from their eyes. Yeah. read the translation again, please repeat. The enter into what's going on here. And it's all on the transcendental platform. All on the platform that is spiritual. All on the platform of a soul. Or in this case, it's more like Shaktis. How the souls, or how Krishna relates to his energies and the individual souls, we ourselves are Krishna's Shaktis. We're part of Krishna's, we're separated energies, Vibhinansa. So we're Shakti, part of Krishna. We're part of Krishna. We say we're part and parcel of Krishna. This is what we mean. We're Krishna's energy. And the energy is meant to serve the energetic, the source of the energy. And instead, when that energy, when the soul turns away from Krishna and tries to get pleasure not in relationship with Krishna, but independently in the land of false ego, thinking himself the center, not understanding Krishna's position, or not understanding, but not wishing to acknowledge, not wishing to be conscious of, not wishing to be in relationship with Krishna, turns his back, the Vibhinansa, the tiny soul, and he lives in the land of shadows, where there is no substance. Living in the land of, that's called the material world, there is no substance. There's only the promise. Like the shadow has the promise of the real object. But the actual substance of the object isn't there. But there is a connection between the object and its shadow. But it doesn't have the substance. So similarly in the material world, the shadow of the relationship with Krishna is there, but it's all upside down. And Prabhupada used to use the word perverted. Which explains perfectly the frustration of material existence. That when we dream that this contact is specific, we all, according to our karma, our bodies, our mind, and we have dreams of the contact of with something in the material world that's going to bring the satisfaction that we are longing for. But it's not in the world of shadows. It's not in the world of reflections. It's in the realm of our relationship with Krishna, which is reality. And this is the basic principle of Krishna consciousness, or a basic principle of Krishna consciousness, that everything is in relationship to Krishna. Because he is the absolute truth. There's nothing separate from Krishna. So everything is in relationship with him and meant to be used in his service for his pleasure. He is the center of existence. Now, this is not very pleasing. Philosophically, we can do this. Yes, of course. But it's not at all pleasing to the false ego, to any false ego, this concept that it's Krishna is the center, it's not me. Because that's specifically what false ego, Haribol. You okay? False ego makes us abhor. What does abhor mean? Yes, it's a real strong word. Abhor the thought of it's Krishna in the center and that everything is meant for his pleasure and it's not me who's in the center and it's not all meant for my pleasure. This is Krishna Bhule Se Jeev, turning our back on Krishna. Nadi Bahimukh. This is the material world, and there we are in the land of shadows. In the frustrated, frustration of being hungry. And all you have to eat is the advertisements for food, but no food. What would that do to you if you were really, really hungry? You were so hungry, and all you, and there was only the advertisements for food, or the example given by our Acharya Govinda Das is like, you are so thirsty, you're dying of thirst in the desert, and there is one drop for you. So what will that do? That's the advertisement for pleasure, the drop of water is there, but you need an ocean, you need real food with substance. So the message of the Krishna consciousness movement is that we should turn towards to Krishna for this. Turn towards Krishna, from Bahirmukh to Sammukh. Face Krishna. And the queen, fully facing Krishna in ecstasy, the ecstasy was erupting through their bodies, transcendental bodies, and it was appearing as tears from their eyes, even though being due to their natural shyness. They were not wishing to express anything directly. Why? Why weren't they willing to? Why didn't they immediately? Why? Cultured, but what's cultured? Yes, it's shyness. This is all correct, but there's that's on one level, and I want a different level of an answer, higher level. That's definitely true. This is culture, but what does the culture reflect? Proper culture in the material world reflects the spiritual world, and it is favorable for Krishna's pleasure, for rasa with Krishna. So this type of a dealing gives Krishna pleasure because how am I going to say this? Because this is what gives Krishna pleasure. How to say it? Because it's... I can just explain an example that Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur gave. That when he explains something, this is even more esoteric than this, then that after the rasa dance, well, the rasa dance was going on, Srimati Radharani became angry. And she left the rasa dance. And then she was in a running mood, and Krishna was in a submissive mood. And so therefore, because she ran, he had to become submissive, and he ran after her. And then, after being with Krishna for a while, she became submissive. And then Krishna ran away. Because this is rasa. There has to be some generating of it for the taste to come from it, from the ingredients. And therefore, despite what we're all longing for, which is shankaras, it's not actually considered a rasa at all. Peace. This is why we're all here, because we're so sick of all the frustration, but it has nothing to do with Krishna consciousness, actually. Sorry. I just ruined your day. Because the rasa has to be there. Shantaras, by Acharya, is not actually considered a rasa, because it's all peace. And there has to be some rubbing for rasa to take place. For it to be generated, the different parts have to be mixed together. So that's why they were shy. Because the rasa with Krishna as husband and wife relationship on the spiritual platform of Krishna would increase in its rasa. We're being generated more. So it's, in other words, it's for Krishna's pleasure. Their existence is for Krishna's pleasure. And the way that they as individuals would like to give Krishna pleasure is the form that they are. Either in Dasaras or Sakaras or Vatsaliras or Madhuiras. But their individuality, according to their desire, their full, complete desire to love Krishna and give him pleasure and serve Krishna, is what they are. And they're composed of nothing other than the desire to serve Krishna and please Krishna due to their complete love for Krishna. This is the spiritual world. You want to be in the spiritual world? Well, the sadhana, the practices that we perform are for this purpose, to develop the serving mood, to develop the loving mood. So again, using the example of Narada Muni, after he saw the Lord, and the Lord disappeared, and then there was a voice, and it was whose voice? You know whose voice it was? Krishna didn't leave him alone. He was so, where are you, where are you? And then there was a voice, and it was Krishna's voice who spoke to him and said, Antasmin jamani bhava namam drastum ivarati. You don't deserve, you can't see me again in this life. Iva pakvam, you are not paka, you are kacha. You have still some impurities in you. The darshaham kuyogina. So then, what did Narada Muni do? He just was in so much, I want this, I want to see, be with Krishna again, I want to be with him again, I want that, that he just wandered, just continuously chanting, thinking about Krishna wherever he went, in every circumstance, until that desire was all that he was, practically speaking. And then when it came time for him to leave this world, when his body dropped to the ground, he immediately, his spiritual body, his true identity, based on his desire to serve, was there. And what's the example that is given? Like lightning and illumination occur simultaneously, without an instant. Because it was already there inside. Because he had developed a pure mood that I am Krishna's. I am Krishna's servant. And I want to please Krishna in this way. I want to serve Krishna in this way. He was fully developed. He was no longer kacha. He was paka. He was no longer unripe. He was mature. So their whole existence was service to Krishna. That's who they were. So that's what it means when we say, when Mahaprabhu said, Gopi Bharta Parakamalaya Dasa Dasa Nadas. This is who you're saying, this is who we are. Or he was saying himself, this is who I am. Sarva Upari Vinyamuktam. I'm not all these Uparis, these designations, these overlays over my cup. This is who I am. Krishna, the servant of Krishna's servants. Jivera Srupoi. Sarup. Our own identity, our own form, rupa, identity, form. Krishna Nitya Dasa. Here is Srila Prabhupada's purport. What? Did we get halfway through it again? Okay, let's try again. Oh, we're into repeating the verse. The insuperable ecstasy was so strong.
The insuperable ecstasy was so strong
that the queens,
who were shy,
first embraced the Lord, in the innermost recesses of their hearts. Then they embraced him visually.
And then they embraced him visually.
And then they sent their sons to embrace him.
And they sent their sons to embrace him.
Which is equal to personal embracing.
Which is equal to personal embracing.
But O chief amongst the Bhrigus, though they tried to restrain their feelings,
they inadvertently
shed
tears.
So Krishna is participating in this exchange of rasa. So how is he going to act next? So that we may not hear that. But so they acted, and then he will act. So they're acting, pulling away a little bit, not a bit with this. And then how will Krishna respond to that? He will respond in the most wonderful way. We may not know what it is, but he responds in such a wonderful way that their happiness and ecstasy and love increases, and then his happiness and ecstasy. And this is what the spiritual world is like, a continuous, eternal, ever-increasing reciprocation of ecstasy. Anandam buddhi vardhanam. Srila Prabhupada's purport. Although due to feminine shyness, there were many hindrances on embracing the dear husband, Lord Sri Krishna, the queens performed that act by seeing him, by putting him in the cores of their hearts, and by sending their sons to embrace him. Still, the act remained unfinished, and tears rolled down their cheeks despite all endeavors to check them. What a scene. What a wonderful scene we can. And this is the spiritual world. It's not our experiences of the material world. So it's an explosion of transcendental ecstasy. That is an ever-increasing explosion of transcendental ecstasy. One indirectly embraces the husband by sending the son to embrace him, because the son is developed as part of the mother's body. The embrace of the son is not exactly the embrace of a husband and wife from the sexual point of view, but the embrace is satisfaction from the affectionate point of view. Such a gesture of affection. The embrace of the eyes is more effective in the conjugal relation. And thus, according to Srila Jiva Goswami, there is nothing wrong in such an exchange of feeling between husband and wife. Okay. Are there any questions or comments? Yes. Mataji. Baro Mataji first. And Choti Mataji. Chota. Chota or Choti? Who's his brother? Huh? Choti. You should translate my Hindi into Hindi, okay?
You're talking about the reflection light and how this reflection has appeared. So there, when I become submissive, Krishna runs. Doesn't that make me feel a bit nervous down here that if I become surrendered, Krishna will run? So I should become unsurrendered so that Krishna will come to me.
I will try to answer that without revealing some of our relationship. But I won't be able to resist. We've been practicing that system for so long. Why don't we try a new approach? One time, Jagtriti went to a doctor. He was also from Agra, but not this one. Perth. So So he told her to do some prescription for what problem she had. So she didn't want to do it. So she said, "Oh, I don't think my husband will like it." So he said, "Why don't you be like an Indian wife?" Yes? How come no one's laughing? Anyway, he said it in a more subtle way. What was the question again? But right, see, the problem is when you have your back turned to Krishna, there's no question of rasa, because you're not in the relationship. So first get in the relationship and develop your relationship to the point of love, of stai bhava, technically speaking, when your relationship with Krishna is fixed in your heart. Then talk about dealing with the spiritual principles. See, now we're not in relationship at all. So first establish your relationship, have it developed in love, and then these subtle spiritual principles are enacted. And if we take the subtle spiritual principles and try to enact them in the material world, we end up with a perverted reflection. Yes. But what's the center of rasa?
Krishna.
It's Krishna's pleasure. So when we, so that's the principle that guides the activities both in the spiritual world and the material world. So is it going to give Krishna pleasure if we keep our back turned and he says turn left and you, to get you to become a devotee, he says turn left and you say, well, I'm going to turn right, and just on principle, I should do the opposite of what his instruction is. That's
no, it's more like, yes, it can create some sense of insecurity, maybe, in mind of somebody who's not very advanced. That if I go towards Krishna, he's going to, the mechanics are of the relationship. I go towards him, he goes away from me.
That's on the platform of the highest platform of rasa, but and the rasa is based on, it's completely transcendental, and it's based on having on. And at least the platform of bhava bhakti and then going up to prema bhakti. So unless that's there, we don't talk about rasa and the subtle things. We talk about following the processes that are recommended by the acharyas, by Krishna's always quoting shastra, that will bring us, that will elevate us in Krishna consciousness. Is that all right? And again, the essence again that's common is on all platforms, is that it's by this let Krishna be pleased. That's what we want to develop and be focused in, to be devoted to Krishna. That I am, that I am yours becomes dominant, and then later on, when one is on the in one's spiritual platform in Vrindavan, then your mind becomes dominant.
I just remember when I was a lot younger as a devotee, when people would talk about Krishna and the relationship with Krishna, I didn't know Krishna, so I would somehow bring it down to my level of me and whatever, the confusing. And so when I hear something from up here, I would try to interpret that into how that should affect me. And sometimes I would get confused.
Yeah. So how would you advise those people who are feeling confused right now?
I think it was very helpful when you said that the principle has to be, basis is sadhana bhakti is Krishna, is Krishna to become servant, these are the things that you focus upon. And then you don't become confused by misidentification with a role or with a relating.
Obviously you don't imitate the spiritual platform. There's no room for imitation anywhere in Krishna consciousness. But But it's so fascinating. So when everyone's when there's an explanation of it that comes up. Yes. Thank you. Did you want to add any more? Chota Mataji. Krishna treats different devotees in different ways. So it is, and also the Pandavas went to the spiritual world in their self-same body. So our acharyas have commented on both the cases of Dhruva Maharaj and the Pandavas, that Krishna did that to show it what's possible. If Krishna wants, he can just take you. That's actually possible. So we answered half. But yet it says about Narada Muni that he developed his spiritual body instantaneously. Yes? And then he went into the body of Vishnu, and then he came out again as Narada Muni. So why did Krishna act like that? Is that your question? But his dormancy is hard for us to understand because he's in his spiritual body. Yes? What didn't take birth? And he was born of Brahma's mind after that, so it didn't take birth again. Didn't take birth like he had taken birth previously, but he was born directly from Brahma's mind, and he was at that time carrying Krishna's bhakti shakti. He was carrying the potency of bhakti with him. That was his specific empowerment of carrying bhakti with him. Krishna's shakti. So that's something very special and so exceptional. He's carrying them. He's the one who is Krishna has entrusted. He was such a person that Krishna entrusted him to carry this bhakti shakti, be the carrier of that. That means 100% pure. So why did Krishna orchestrate it like that? I always ask that question. Why does Krishna do what he do things the way he want? He does them. He should do it the way I want. Instead, and it doesn't. He doesn't seem to accept that logic somehow or another. Any other questions or comments? Could someone open the door and keep it open at this point? Yes.
Srila Prabhupada in Bhagavad Gita says that Krishna has an equal vision for all the living beings, basically. He treats them like a friend.
Samoham Savabhuteshu.
Yeah. I don't know Sanskrit, sorry.
I don't either, but I know that verse a little bit.
Yeah, so, but in the same time, in other shlokas, it says, Krishna says that the devotees with a particular quality are very dear to me. So I don't understand.
Devotee. See, that first verse, Samoham Savabhuteshu, this is from what chapter? Ninth chapter. Samoham sarvabhuteshu. And why are you broken into confusion? Try again. Samoham sarvabhuteshu. Name bas. Devasanti. I should have handed you two the microphone immediately. So Krishna in that verse says, I'm equal to all living entities. No one is dear to me, and no one, I'm not inimical to anyone. So that's to explain why some people are in very, very favorable positions for enjoyment or their life, and some people are in very difficult, suffering conditions. It's not Krishna who's being like someone and therefore he gives them a good job, and Krishna doesn't like someone and the person gets in an accident. He's being equal, like the judge dispenses the law equally to everyone who comes. Then, this is that verse, and then it continues, ye bhajanti tu. Tu means but, changes the subject to the devotees. He doesn't treat the devotees in the way that he treats ordinary people. Ye bhajanti tu mam bhaktya maya tateshu chapyaham. That I am always in them. I act actively within them, the devotees. And they act actively in me. They're always thinking of themselves in me, in my mercy, in my energies. So he's talking about two different reciprocations. One with people who don't reciprocate with him, he's neutral in relationship with them and equal to everyone, dispensing the law of karma. And then the devotees who treat him specially, he treats them specially. Both in the category of yayutam mambha panyante, reciprocation. Is that a little clearer?
Yeah, but that means basically...
Yeah, but, I know that one. Yes.
Basically that Krishna doesn't treat everyone equally. He treats devotees, and he treats all the rest of the people.
But he says... So he says, therefore, so why doesn't everyone become a devotee? And then and I'll treat everyone specially. You don't want to be treated specially. So, I mean, I'm not saying you... You don't want to be treated specially. You don't treat me specially. I don't treat you specially. But I'll still be so. I'll provide you everything you need to live. But you're under the law. Say there's a king in a kingdom. He's kind and provides for all the citizens. But his own children, he naturally has a more intimate and reciprocatory relationship, and they're not exactly under the law of the land, the princes and the princesses. It's natural. And Krishna is a person. So, what would you prefer?
Well,
yeah.
Everyone prefers the mango from the
family. Yes. Thank you. So, in this case, all we have to do is turn to Krishna instead of putting our back to him, which is that's why we don't put our backs to the deities ever, because it's considered quite impolite. So. All we have to do is turn to Krishna and say, I am yours. Sakrit eva vapanastvam tava tava tavasmi tayachite abhayam sarvadat tasmai dadyatam vatamama. Krishna says that even if a person one time does that, he has one moment of sincerity where he says, Krishna, I'm yours. One time. For that person, I will never forget that person. And I will be with him. I will make him feel this at all times. Because I will be with him. This is my solemn vow. Ratam mama. So that's a... that's a good deal. To put it in a crude way. This is, but it's important to know the nature of the person that we're giving ourselves to. Otherwise there's no reason to make the great attempt to turn to him. So he's very kind. His heart is soft. So if we sincerely one time say, Krishna, I'm so... please accept me as being in your family. Being the one of the ones that you care for, and I'll try my best to serve you. Just one time, I'm yours. A moment of sincerity brings an eternality of good fortune. That one's suitable for a t-shirt, isn't it? Or an SMS message, at least. Thank you. Thank you for an honest question. Any other questions? We have 4 minutes left. Yes.
He was given the mantra by Narayani and he chanted that mantra and he got perfection is written, and then it was that he was in the body of a Vidyadhara when he laughed at Lord Shiva by flying into the airplane. So is it that he got that body of Vidyadhara after leaving the body of Maharaj?
It doesn't make it clear in the Bhagavatam, I've noticed, but it appears so, because that was a very long, long life, and also he achieved perfection. So, it seems so. He had the body of a Vidyadhara, and he was riding around, singing glorious bhajans, and enjoying himself in the company of Matajis, and it was somehow it wasn't material, but it wasn't 100% the best that he could do. And Krishna thought, he's wasting time. I want him home sooner. So he intervened and therefore inspired him to give that, not maya, but laugh at Lord Shiva. And therefore Parvati became angry at him. How do you say Parvati in the proper accent? Again? Yeah, because in Australian it sounds like poverty.
It's poverty.
It's not very attractive. It's curious. Is there a bona fide dinky die Australian who could say poverty properly? Australian accent properly? Anyway, no. But see, there's so many things going on in a Leela. That's so wonderful about Krishna's Leela, that you can see it from this point of view and it's wonderful, and you see it from this point of view and it's wonderful, and you see it from this point of view and it's wonderful. So Mataji became very angry that Lord Shiva had been insulted, and she cursed him, and then the Vidyadhara came down and he said, actually I didn't do anything wrong. And he had the full power to counter curse her. He was so powerful because he was a devotee. But he said, I accept it. And then he was very surprised. And Lord Shiva said, see the qualities of Vaishnavas. Because they're so internally situated at Krishna's lotus feet, whether they're in heaven or hell or liberated, it doesn't make any difference for them. So that pastime also glorifies the qualities of Vaishnavas. Well, Shiva specifically wanted to point that out. So did that answer your question? So my answer was yes, it appears that he is. Okay, now it's 9 o'clock. Gandharvika, what is it? You had a question? Last question. Okay.
On Sunday feast, which is about who I've been coming to for a long while, and I noticed everyone, the class is down there, and everyone has their backs to the deities, and a lot of people don't ever see the deities at all. They're coming for the first time going out, because I've actually brought people.
Yes.
And then they're chanting Japa, facing this way, and never seeing the deities. Instructed from that door there to go down this way, always moving towards that way, as soon as they come in. And I begged Bhakta
Prabhu. Just wait. Okay?
Yeah.
Okay. I think the managers have heard what you had said. Because this isn't a. Managers, temple managers, you have noted this in your iPhones. Okay, and they will consider it, because managerial decisions are always complicated too, because you know there's one thing on one side and then there's something on the other side and then there's something on another side. So, and we always, not just you, everyone tends to see things from their side. So therefore, we give this responsibility to those who are managing. Okay? Are you satisfied with that? Anyway, despite you may not be, it's already 9 o'clock. Okay? Talk with her after. Bharo Mataji. She'll explain. If I was in charge, everything would be right, finally. Not that you think like that, but that's the way I think. Okay. Srimad Bhagavatam ki
jai.
Srila Prabhupada
ki jai.
Wonderful Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srisi Gaura Nityaya Radhabalava. Srisi Jagannabhadev Subhadra Devi ki jai. Srisi Radhabalava Bhakta Vrinda ki jai. Srila Prabhupada Bhakta Vrinda ki jai.